Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. Welcome back, spring breakers, those who came back to the cold and the snow with sad faces. And to those of you who got here and then turned around and were like, nope, and just went back to Florida, welcome from the video feed that you're here with us and not coming in. I totally understand that. We're in the fourth week, fourth week of Lent. And we've been walking through different images each week. The first Sunday, well, actually on Ash Wednesday, we started with ashes as a reminder of our mortality. The first Sunday, we talked about dust as a reminder that from dust we came, to dust we shall return. And then we talked about bread. And then last week, we talked about water. What are we thirsting for? And do we have this thirst that Jesus offers himself as the living water that will quench us? And today, you probably figured out, you've heard, if you've been awake, we're talking about light, right? We're going to talk about light today at our church service. So I've removed everything from the middle. We just have the light, and we're going to focus on the light today as we move forward. So I'm going to begin, actually, since we've already had the theme of teachers. I was an English teacher for a hot second, but I studied English in college, and I loved studying English, and I sometimes say I learned to read when I was in college. And that's not exactly true, but I also learned how to read well when I was in college. What it meant to read a book and to analyze it and look at themes and all those different things that comes with reading. And that helped me with movies and it helped me with TV shows and all these different themes that come up. And one of the major themes that you can probably pick up on, and anyone can, that we see themes, as Mike has already talked about, of light and dark. That light and dark is a major theme that shows up in books and movies and TV shows. And it makes sense, because light and dark kind of surround a lot of what we do and how we engage in the world. And so darkness versus light is one of the age-old themes that we see in writing and in movies and in TV shows. Darkness is oftentimes associated with evil, with wrongdoing, with the wrong side of things. Darkness is sometimes associated with the cold, when things are feeling cold, especially this morning. If you stepped outside, it was dark and it was cold when I got to church. Woo-wee. Right? Yesterday was even worse. It's been brutal a couple days here. Right, and that kind of makes sense. You know, if you see a character that's written that they're dwelling in the shadows or their name is associated with darkness or something like that, you can probably already figure out before you read the book, oh, this is a bad guy, this is a bad girl, this is the bad person of the story that we're going to read. And that makes sense because a lot of our human experience of darkness, it can be unsettling, and it can be scary sometimes. Back in my day, right? There was a ride at Columbian Park. There used to be rides there. Anyone remember this? It was like a haunted house ride. You sat in this cart and you rode through. Anyone remember that ride? I see a couple people nodding. Yeah, just a couple. Oh, man, okay. So it must have been a long time ago. But you sat in there, and there was a part of that ride. It was like three to a car, and so there was a person sitting next to me, and I could just, you know, we're scrunched together in this car. There was a part of the ride that it was so dark, I knew there was someone there, but if I looked this way, I couldn't see them, and I couldn't see up, I couldn't see down, I couldn't feel, you know, anything. It just was pitch black dark. Anyone been in a ride like that or been out like that, right? It's a little unsettling, isn't it? You're like, I don't know what's what. If I fall down right now, I don't know what I'm about to land on. I don't know any of these things. And darkness gives us that sense of this unsettling. And the counter to darkness, of course, is light. Is the light. Light is what is good. Light is what is helpful. Light is what is righteous and worthwhile to pursue. And the authors of the Bible pick up on this light-dark dynamic in what they write. So God is holy, H-O-L-Y, and he is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, different than us. He is holy and wholly different than us. And so God speaks to us in a way with languages and images that we can understand. And one of the ways that God has chosen to do that, as he revealed it to the biblical authors, is through light and dark, that he is light. And so we have these positive images that we get with light. The warmth of the sun is light. When you come home after a long day and you flip on the light to your house, oh, light. It feels good to see the light in your house. God is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And the Sermon on the Mount, we got it on the walls here. You are the light of the world. He is the light, and we are the light of the world. And this light-dark dynamic, it plays out through Scripture, Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. Now, I'm one of those people that thinks that the creation account is not a literal seven-day account. I think it is a poetic retelling of the story. And so the first thing that the authors tell us there is light That's pretty powerful, that they want to say there is a light that is God that is overcoming this dark world that we are in and the darkness that we face. They saw darkness, the biblical authors, they saw darkness as associated with death, with evil, with this word Sheol that sometimes we associate with like hell, but this dark, evil place. David talks about his struggles with dealing with anxiety and depression and sadness and being chased as this Sheol, this emotional, spiritual Sheol that he's facing. And then the biblical writers, they understood light as the beginning of all hope for us. The beginning of life and goodness and God's connection with us starts with the light. That he's come to bring us out of Sheol and into the light. Jesus is the light of the world. The light has become flesh and lives among us. The light became flesh and lived among us. Now, it's not a Christmas sermon today, but it is a good place to remember that Jesus is the light, and he became flesh and lived and walked and moved and breathed among us. So let's look at Ephesians is what we're going to look at today, a passage on light, that we are the light. Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. It's a lot of verses, but it's pretty short, about being light. And you can follow along. I believe it's in the app, or you can just pull it up. I'm going to be reading from the NIV today, Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. Or you can just gaze at the light as I read. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us this morning as we look at the light, that you are the light, that we want to be the light that you have given to us and made us into. Open your word to us, Holy Spirit, teach us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the passage begins, once you were darkness, and now you are light. So who is the you, right? He's writing to the church in Ephesus, but he's saying this universal truth to us about following Jesus, that once you were darkness, and now you are light. Something about us, our condition has changed. In this passage, Paul references Isaiah quite a bit, both directly and indirectly. And Isaiah talks about how they were once in darkness, and they're looking forward to being in the light. And we just sang, we want to be in the light, right? The great song, 90s song, woo-hoo, 90s. But it's not just that we're in the light, we are light. We were darkness, now we are light. Jesus is light, and we are light. Now, two very different things, of course. Jesus is the light that draws all people to himself. And as the light, we are not drawing people to ourselves. Hopefully, we're drawing people to Jesus as that light. Now, we are light. Therefore, live as children of the light. Live as children of the light. Now, my translation, the NIV, has this parenthesis there. Maybe yours does too. For the fruit of the light consisted in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then it picks up the sentence later. I'm going to take the parentheses out for a second, and let's just read that sentence. Live as children of the light and find out what pleases the Lord. Live as children of the light and find out what pleases the Lord. To live as children of the light means living in a manner that pleases the Lord and finding out what that is. And the Greek word there for find out, it's used quite a bit in the New Testament and has this idea of walking alongside someone. So to find out how to please the Lord is to walk alongside the Lord, to walk with the Lord. So we have this tendency in our culture, I think, that learning comes from sitting maybe with a book open and studying and taking notes. And think about your schools and class, since we've already mentioned school a few times today, right? Your chairs are set up facing the teacher. And what does the teacher do? The teacher gives you knowledge that you then learn and put in your head and you take notes. And then hopefully you learn something at school, kids, right? Yes, hopefully teens. Yes, maybe. Okay. And then you take that and you learn something else and you go from there. And we've kind of taken that into church, too. Now, we don't have Sunday school, but some places have Sunday school, which implies, all right, let's go. We're going to sit in rows, and we're going to listen to somebody teach something to us, and then we'll learn like that. And honestly, like this idea of a sermon is kind of like that, too. It's kind of weird, isn't it, that you're all just sitting while I'm standing here walking around and talking, right? That's how we understand learning. But I'm not sure that's how they understood learning. Now, did Jesus sit and teach? Certainly he did. The Sermon on the Mount, he sat and he taught people things. But more so, when he shows up in Mark chapter 1, and he looks at Simon and Andrew, and he points to them and he says, follow me. Follow me. Come walk with me. Come hold my hand. Come learn from me. Come watch me as I talk to people. Come watch me as I heal this person. Come watch me as I cast this demon out. Follow me. And that's how you'll learn from me. Walk with me in the morning, in the evening, when I'm in a good mood, when I'm in a bad mood, when all things are happening, come with me, follow me, and that's how you will learn from me. And I think Paul picks up that language of follow me here. I want you to think back for a second for each of us, the best teacher you ever had. Maybe they're in this room, right? The best teacher you ever had. Did you remember a lesson that they taught? Probably not. No offense, teachers, please don't take that the wrong way. We love you teachers all. I know I understand how hard it is to make a lesson, right? You remember the moments outside of class when that teacher was with you, when they walked with you and they said, come with me, come sit with me this extra time, we'll talk about this. You felt heard, you felt seen, you felt understood. It's this idea that growth in the Lord is less about cramming the Bible into your head and more about walking with the Lord and finding out what pleases Him. Now, studying the Bible is good. Reading the Bible is good. I'm not trying to say that. But it's less about cramming knowledge into our head and more about walking with the Lord. Let me walk with Him. Let me trust You. Let me go to this situation which kind of pushes me to be uncomfortable, and let me trust You in it, Lord. That's how I'm going to be a light. That's how I'm going to learn. That's how I'm going to grow. Because I'm going to walk with You in these difficult moments. Maybe you've realized that. Maybe you've experienced that in your own life of walking with Him. And Paul reminds us, as we are walking, the light will bear fruit. Right? We've talked about this before. Look for the fruit. Where there is fruit, there is light and life and hope. And the fruit is borne out by Paul in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Paul loves his, you know, trio of things: faith, hope, and love, goodness, righteousness, and truth, all these things he talks about. And each of these things brings an ethical angle to our faith in goodness, our personal character before God and others. In righteousness, our social character with each other. And in truth, the principles that we speak, speaking truth in love, calling out lies and evil, being faithful to God alone and faithful to loving our neighbor, goodness, righteousness, and truth. So let me say this all together. I got one slide today. If you can go to the next slide, I don't have my clicker with me. And you can just leave it up there. Hopefully you can see that. The fruit of being light is becoming a people who have a moral and ethical behavior shaped by the love of God and love of others. And we find that shape by walking with Jesus. We find that shape by walking with Jesus. So you can just leave that up there. So in that sense, verse 11 makes a lot of sense, right? If we have a moral and ethical behavior shaped by our love of God and love of others, then we seek to expose the dark, expose the evil. As people of light, we spread light. We produce light. You are the light of the world. You shine that light, and darkness flees. And Paul says in verse 13, everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Becomes a light. Like Mike said earlier, you don't turn on darkness. You don't. Darkness doesn't. Isn't the light overcomes darkness? Light overcomes darkness. And Paul uses some combination of quotes. If you look at your footnotes in your Bible, it's some quotes from the Old Testament, some quotes from himself, blah, 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 that talks about that in that biblical quote there, that Christ shines on you. But the larger point is this: when the light of Christ shines on those who are spiritually dead, there is life. When the light of Christ shines, there is life. Of all the different analogies in our Bible about Jesus and his death and resurrection, there's a lot of different ways to think about it and talk about it. One that is important to remember is that Christ is the one who is able to bring life out of death. Christ is the one who is able to bring life out of death. When a situation feels like death, when a moment feels like death, when a person is in a moment of Sheol, of struggling, of longing for the Lord, he's able to bring light out of death and life into death. Light to make our darkness a daybreak. And the call here is that you who are light, When you illuminate that light, when you shine that light, you create light. And that's not a small thing to think about. Now, what happens as followers of Jesus is we shine this light and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. So what happens when we are dealing with anxiety and grief and we struggle with that, right? Because it's not always all light. Right? Do we fake it until we make it? No, of course not. We'd be real. Right? Shining light does not always mean happy times, but it does mean goodness and righteousness and truth. A call that we can live into in any season. So Paul gives us a transition here. So then, be careful how you live because the days are evil. We'll come back to that in a second. So live as wise people, which means making the most of every opportunity. And this is translated as in this way, but a better way to understand this is it's a marketplace term. So find the full value of your days. Seek the full value of your days and the opportunities that you are living in because the days are evil. Does anyone remember the show? We're going to go 90s again, right? Supermarket Sweep. Anyone remember that show? Yeah, I like that show, right? They made a new one. I didn't watch it. I don't know if it was good or not. I just like the old ones, right? I'm at the age now where I don't like reboots of anything, right? I don't know if you relate to that, right? It's just kind of like, I just want to watch the original again, you know? Hold on. Can I tell you what you told me the other day, Zach? Yesterday, the piano, the song? You don't remember? Yesterday, he was flipping through Kaya's piano book. Do you remember this? Can I say this story? Okay. He's flipping through. This is going to show you where I'm at in my household, right? He's flipping through Kaya's piano book, and he goes, Dad, I found a song that's about you. I was like, oh, good. I wonder what this song is. And he goes, yeah, it's called This Old Man. And I lost it. I was like, okay, yep. I've become this old man in this house. Anyway, Supermarket Sweep, this 90s show, right? I love this show. The premise was there was these teams of two people, and you built up time by answering questions. And at the end, it was set in a supermarket, or at least some soundstage that looked like a supermarket. And at the end, you took that time, you ran through, you grabbed as much as you could, and you filled your cart, and whoever had the highest price at the end was the winner, which is kind of like going to the supermarket today, except you're the loser, right? That's the problem. And so they fill up their carts, and they do that. And my mom and I used to watch this show a lot. And if you watch the show enough times, you could kind of get a feel for who was going to win. And it was almost never the first team. The first team had the most money went out first. And it was almost never the last team because they didn't have a lot of time. It was almost always the team in the middle that had the middle amount of time. Because you know why? Because when you have the most time, you go out and you think, I got the most time. I can do this. All right, I can do all of these things. I can get whatever. And they pay no attention and they just grab whatever they want. And when you have the least time, you just don't have a lot of time, and you're struggling to get it done. But the team in the middle, they would plan it out. You know, they would go get the $8 a pound hams and load up for that. And then they go to the medicine aisle and load up on the medicines, so Tylenol, Advil, all these different things that cost a lot. And so they'd come back with a half-full cart, but it was like $1,000, which is also like going to the grocery nowadays, right? And they'd be the winners because they were careful in how they used their time. They were careful in what they chose to do. They were careful in what they went out to do and not just grab everything that they saw. And as followers of Jesus, that might be a good dynamic to take, to live as people of Supermarket Sweep, right? At least the people who win the show. Don't think you have so much time that you don't do anything. And don't think that you have so little time that you can't make any sort of impact. Instead, redeem what you do have, and seek to walk with the Lord as he teaches you how to use your time, how to make the most of the time that you have. Whatever opportunity the Lord has given you, make the most of that time. If you have a business, use that business to glorify God by being honest with your dealings with others. If you've been given an individual person to walk with in this life, walk with that person. Make the most of that time. Pour into them. For some of you, you're sitting there, you're like, man, it is enough just to juggle my family right now. That's okay. Do that. Make the most of that time. That's what God has given you for this season. Be a light in that season. And Paul always reminds the church, it's not about a hierarchy. Christ is our head who's given us our spiritual gifts and our calling. And at the end, the last question will not be, how much did you do? Because we can always point to someone who did more. It will never be how much did you do. It is, were you faithful with what I gave you? Were you faithful with what I gave? Well, Lord, you only gave me one person, and that person had two people. Were you faithful with what I gave you? Whatever it is, big or small, were you faithful? May we be found faithful in Him. And Paul says, you do this because the days are evil. Now, I know Mondays are evil, right? But Fridays seem okay. Yeah, Saturdays are fine. Sundays can be nice depending how long Pastor talks, right? No, the lure of sin is still a motivating factor in our world. And as long as that is the case, sinful people will do sinful things. They will imprison people. They will hurt people. They will unjustly harm people. They will attack and kill people. And as believers in Christ, we make the most of every opportunity to sow words of hope and light in the midst of troubled times. To sow words of hope and light in the midst of troubled times. To show people that our hope is beyond this world, which is perishing, that we have a better hope in a world to come. To restore what sin has eaten in this world. To be a light. The light that we are. I know you all are facing that way, but 881 just came up there. So if your number is 881, that's your kid downstairs, by the way. So for those who can't see, no judgment. Right? We understand. We get it. No worries. One last turn Paul makes, Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Foolish as in the Old Testament Proverbs sense. Don't be simple or simple-minded. Understand that there's a physical realm that needs tending to and a spiritual battles that must be confronted through prayer and petition. Do not be foolish. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. We kind of lose this in this translation, but there's a parallel here. Do not be filled with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, which leads to unity. Right? Filled with the Spirit. Debauchery is a word we don't really use anymore, okay? Maybe we do. But the idea behind it is this idea of individual fulfillment and wastefulness. In other words, when you get filled with wine or whatever placeholder you want to put in there, you begin to only think about yourself and the things that you need. But when you're filled with the Spirit brings a sense of unity and togetherness and oneness with each other. So we sing psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. Mike, you're a worship leader in West Lafayette, Indiana. Have you heard of the worship wars before? Like in general, like hymns versus... Oh, yeah, sure. Mike has. Yeah. Anyone know what I'm talking about? The worship wars or hymns versus contemporary songs, right? Some people will say, we love hymns. Hymns are great. You should only sing hymns all the time. Only words that should ever come out of your mouth, right? Because of ABC. And some people will say, oh, no, we love contemporary music because contemporary music is the language of the people of today. So we should only sing that all the time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. Don't get involved in that. Right? I knew a church once that had two services of 40 people, one traditional, one contemporary, where people had gone to that church for 20 plus years and never knew people from the other service because they never wanted to go to sing that other type of music. Right? That's going to go well when you stand before the Lord one day. Right? Did you know this person from your church? No, they didn't sing the music I liked. Sorry, we didn't talk. Paul says, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you sing it all. Psalms, which are scripture. Hymns, the old songs. Songs of the Spirit, new songs. It doesn't matter. What matters is you are light, and you're singing to the light, and you're giving glory to God. So sing it all. Sing it loudly. Sing it to the Lord. When you're filled with the Spirit, what you care about is giving praise to God. What you care about is the light. The light. Focusing on the light. Jesus is the light. Sing and make music with your heart, always giving thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pull back to this idea. The fruit of being light is becoming a people who have a moral and ethical behavior shaped by the love of God and love of others. And we find that shape by walking with Jesus. It's Lent, a time for repentance and renewal. And so let's pull this into Lent as well as we close this morning. Consider your own walk with Jesus. Do you have a walk with Jesus? Like literally, are you walking with Him and trusting with Him in the moment of every day as everything comes to say, Lord, I'm going to trust You in this. And this is a little out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to lean on You for this. So I'm going to walk with You. So help me with this. What does that look like for you? Or maybe, like, let's be honest, maybe you've just never even done that. You're just comfortable with not being led too far by Him. Well, consider not being like that. Consider saying, let me take a step forward in faith. Let me say, I'm going to do this next thing and trust in you. Consider your time this morning. How are you redeeming your time? I know we all kind of feel we don't have enough time. I get it. Stuff is stressful. How are you redeeming your time? What are you doing in that moment? How are you redeeming it well? How are you trusting in God with it? How are you giving it to him? Whatever you've been entrusted with, your business, your family, your people, whatever it is, how are you giving it to him and redeeming him with it well and finding and being found faithful in it? And then goodness, righteousness, love, and light. What are we doing with those things? Because remember, you are light. You are light. You were once darkness, but now you are light. Consider where God is calling you to be a light, to be that light. It's a simple question. It's the question we ask the kids, right? But it's a question we need to ask ourselves too. If we are light, where are we shining that light? Who are we engaging with the light? How are we transforming darkness into the light? It takes just a moment of silence as you consider those questions, and then I'll pray for us. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the light. The light has overcome the darkness. The darkness cannot stand in the face of the light. You, Jesus, are our light. Paul gives us so much in these few verses, so may we consider them each. How do we use our time? What are we using our time for? How are we redeeming our time for your glory? How are we being light to those that are around us? Are we walking with you in the light? Have we avoided the things of darkness? Have we moved away from dabbling in the things of darkness and are pursuing the things that are good and righteous in the light? And if we're not, Lord, help us, show us, reveal that to us. Shine your light on our hearts again, that we might confess and repent and turn back to you and be renewed in this season. Lord, as the light, you shine on us, you shine on this world. May we point people to you, Jesus. Not just with our words, but how we behave, how we care for others well, how we love you well and love our neighbors well. We thank you for this light that gives life to all mankind. May it be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.